to go to the vicarage, and Martin is going to bring us the word this morning. May we pray for Martin. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for Martin. We thank you that he is your man. We thank you, Lord, for the word that you've laid on his heart this morning. And we pray, Lord, that you would anoint him, that you would anoint us as we listen, as we learn, and as we draw closer to you, our Father, the Father of our family. Lord, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Martin.
Thank you, Steve. Much appreciated. Let's... Friends, I wonder how many of you recognize this book. No, not that. This book, Journey into Life. Norman Warren's book was published back in 1969. So it's a book cover that's been with me all my life, really, since I've always also known of its existence and similarly its contents. Now, until I looked it up this week, I had in my head a much greater differential as to the road widths, the motorway ahead and the farm track to the right, perhaps a little bit more like this. Martin Luther, the reformer, illustrated the options. My microphone all caught up. Sorry. Let's just try once again to get this right, and then I'll stop fiddling and be able to focus on what I'm trying to say. Martin Luther, the reformer, he illustrated the options a little like this. It's really hard to see, but there are illustrations and quotes from the Bible in German, which help you to put context to this. But it's very clear for him and for many others that there are two destinations. In this case, there's hell to the left and there's heaven to the right, eternal life with God in heaven. And then there's perhaps this sort of image that's easily findable on the internet. And as an aside, I'm intrigued how always it seems as though left is wrong, but right is correct. And in these days of sensitivity to bias, it's a cultural view of correctness, which is a struggle for all those that are left-hand dominant. So let's flip the views and see it from the world's perspective. Let's go back to Luther's illustration, and then we'll flip that. What if we had heaven to the left and damnation to the right? That would put most people on for that what for them is the correct path, the broad path, that whilst it leads to destruction, it feels like the right path. It feels like the good path, the broad path, that is, until you look far enough ahead. Similarly, we could look at this and flip that over. And when we stop to think about it, that's exactly how advertising works. Live for today, buy this car because it will make you feel happy, or buy this washing powder because your sheets will feel super, or this television because it will make you feel superior to your neighbors who don't have such a big one, or how about this health product which will help you feel younger, fitter, healthier, frankly, further from death. Let's come back to the text. Jesus said, enter through the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction. To be honest with you, although I have entered through the narrow gate, it would be easier to live this life without reference to God and without relationship with God. In material terms, I could live a more selfish, self-centered life, which focuses on my family alone and our success, and only occasionally throw an old bone to a donation of a donation to charity, usually in terms of my cast off clothing and books. Instead, Jesus calls us to live for ones that don't yet know him, to give ourselves and our money until we truly recognize that we don't own, but we are stewards of God's resources to use as he calls. In friendship terms, it would be easier to make friends only with people like me. Already, Facebook will happily give me an echo chamber of my own particular ways of thinking and being. It's actually quite hard at times when our only common factor is a relationship with Jesus. In time terms, most of us would have our Sunday mornings back and a couple of evenings in the week, and personally my whole week, and I would then need a different way of paying the bills and a different place to stay. But let's set that aside for a while. And then there's all that time praying and reading the Bible and worshipping and song that fills your days, apparently. But then I would be on the road that leads to destruction, and that's a destruction I do not want. Having lifted my eyes to consider the horizon and thus my eternal destiny, I want to gain the victor's crown of life, of righteousness. So I humble myself at the foot of the cross. I recognize that I enter the way that leads to eternal life by humbling myself. Consider for a moment the camel, if you would. Jesus said it's easier for a rich man to enter the kingdom, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than it is for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. Well, without too much of a sidewinder, what does that mean? Some people think that there was an opening, a small gate in the city of Jerusalem, which was known as the eye of the needle. And then the eye of the needle was the gate that opened. Nick Butterworth, in this book, Stories Jesus Told, has beautifully illustrated this, that to get the camel through the eye of the needle, here's the camel, and there's the needle. And to get the camel through the eye of the needle, so it's necessary to actually take off his baggage. The camel boy tells the camel to try wiggling. He wiggles and it doesn't happen. And then he struggles a bit, and then they have to take off the carpets. And then even the seat is too tall to go through. And it's only when the camel, who is no longer a proud camel, but actually just revealed as an ordinary camel, when he goes through with nothing else, then he's able to get through. And it's the same with us, that as we humble ourselves, we get ourselves to that point when we abandon our pretentiousness and the things that we carry, and we get low. We lay aside our preferences to instead we cultivate a living and lively relationship with the living God. God is revealed in the pages of the Bible, because he's the only one that can save us from the self-centered immediacy of our ultimately hopeless and purposeless lives. To humble ourselves then is not just the entry point, but I would argue the whole point and the lifelong journey of the Christian faith. It's not always easy, is it? Paul, one of the leaders of this new movement back in AD 50 or so or thereabouts, often talked about suffering for the gospel, and he surely did. He records that he was whipped and beaten and pelted with stones and shipwrecked and spent a night in the day on the open sea and so on, because he did whatever it took to stay true to his calling, whatever the cost. Now, today comes with very unusual news for you. Today, I get to announce, to tell you, that I have been appointed by Bishop James as the leader of the Chatham St. John Mission, which is established under Bishop's Mission Order dated 2nd of January 2018. And this is in addition to remaining as the incumbent of this parish. Let me explain what that means and then put it in the context of this verse. Back in 2017, we enabled people who were part of the congregation then to respond to a call to help establish a viable church community at St. John's Chatham. The slide you see is a slide we used back at the annual meeting in April 17, where we launched the concept. And by the end of that year, so Carol Morgan was identified and appointed as a new leader, and a group of our church members set out on this new adventure. For those of you who have kept contact with that grouping, it comes as no surprise to you to say that it's been hard work, frustrating, and slow progress. The building looks still largely as it did in 1908 in this picture of Harvest Festival. Whereas the plan by now was to have an interior that looked rather more like this, a welcoming and warm interior that's fit for multiple purposes through every day of the week. Part of the delay has been in finding dry rot in the balcony end, and then the west wall needed to be stabilised. And the roof was not as good as anyone expected. And the plan you see is just still that, a plan which still needs funding to be agreed. So if any of you know anyone willing to donate £3 million to this, then do please get in contact. In the meantime, the people involved have grown links in the local community in various ways that includes a worship service at St. John's Infant School. All of these seedlings, if you like, have the potential to be transplanted into the building when it does open. It's all very well, I hear you say, but why are you getting involved? Well, actually, the question ought to be, why are we getting involved again? Well, Carol Morgan resigned a month or so back after a long period of sick leave, and it's a role that I've been asked to do, and it does seem to be God's calling. At this point, let me be clear and say, if I were looking for an easy life, if I were looking for a suffering-free life, for a low-stress life, then no, I would not be taking this on. But after almost 10 years here, the timing does seem to be right to take on this additional challenge. Now, let's be clear. We're not leaving Pip and Jim's. This is additional responsibilities. And right now, I feel like I need a time turner or a clone to be able to progress all the projects that are swirling around. Instead, there's to be an associate vicar who will largely focus on the development of all things Pip and Jim's, while I largely focus on St. John's. I'm hopeful that we'll be able to announce in a month or so who it is that will fill that post. But I pose the question, why are we getting involved again? Part of the change envisaged into the future includes a sharing of resources. That is, of people, you, buildings, and time across both parishes. So training courses and outreach events, both regular and one-off events, might well come both ways, with requests for volunteers and opportunities to invite friends. For example, when we're planning a holiday club, just as we are now, online in early August, so that could be advertised in both parishes, volunteers for the small groups could come from both parishes too. On another note, for instance, St. John's might run a prayer on the go type of outreach at Chatham Rail or bus station, which could easily involve volunteers from this church. Then there's Medway Oaks, part of a range of projects. That's about working with the currently homeless in Chatham Town Centre. It might be that some of you could volunteer to be part of that work. Inevitably then, that will take coordination of diaries and a sharing of vision, which is a bit more defined than our unchanging purpose, which is to see the kingdom of God come on earth and to love one another. There's already, of course, much shared DNA in that all the people that formed the church plant in 2018 were from this worshipping community. So perhaps now you can begin to see the logic of asking me to become the leader of St. John's whilst also staying as incumbent here. The future is unknown, but it's a future I hope and pray that will bear much fruit for the kingdom as we grow in partnership across the two communities in the coming months and years. And God willing, see many come to a new, lively and living faith in our Lord and Saviour Jesus. I didn't become a vicar to find the easy life. I was called by God to do all that it takes to bring the good news of the gospel. Yes, it is the narrow way, the unpopular way, but it is also the only way that leads to eternal life with our loving Heavenly Father. And I recognize that for some people, that concept is fraught with difficulties, but it is the view of the future that Jesus took. This year, I've come back two or three times to the covenant prayer that we used at the new year, and here's a part of it. It's become very poignant in these days of lockdown about whatever, when there's work and when there's none, when I'm troubled, when I'm at peace. But also it's poignant on this day that I'm committed to following God wherever he calls me. And in these days of lockdown, I think we have to all recognize that there's been, of course, significant change to routines. There's been a realization about the fragility of life, of the fragility of financial arrangements, of relationships, which work with a certain amount of time together, but can also become strained when there's a big change in that time. But also, I think it's been helpful as we think about priorities, about how to respond to this calling. So perhaps we could pray this together as we end. I wonder whether you will use it as a way of committing yourself to God, perhaps for the first time, perhaps as a way of choosing to move off the broad path and onto the narrow, but that joyful, hope-filled, purpose-given life. Here's some words to lead into this then. Eternal God, in your faithful and enduring love, you call us to share in your gracious covenant in Jesus Christ. In obedience, we hear and accept your commands. In love, we seek to do your perfect will. With joy, we offer ourselves to you, whether anew or for the first time. We are no longer our own, but yours. And we each say, I am no longer my own, but yours. Your will, not mine, be done in all things. Wherever you may place me, in all that I do, and in all that I may endure, when there is work for me and when there is none, when I am troubled and when I am at peace, your will be done. When I am valued and when I am disregarded, when I find fulfillment and when it is lacking, when I have all things and when I have nothing, I willingly offer all that I have and am to serve you as and where you choose.